make this quick announcement, are getting ready to replace a furnace that's back in the nursery. So the nursery temporarily has been moved across the hallway to A3. So if you're going by the hall or you need to use the nursery or whatever, so we are waiting on an install date, and that will have that new furnace put in back there and get that taken care of. So in the meantime, they kind of set up A3, and that room was not being used right now, so we just kind of slid the nursery across the hall. And if you have a young baby or child or whatever, you're welcome to use that. And that furnace should be in there soon and very soon. Praise the Lord for that. Take your Bible today to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, if you want to find your place in the New Testament. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. When you look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, the same parable, the same thing is recorded in Matthew, chapter 15. It always amazes me when you read the Bible that one of the authors, Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, will write something in the Bible and will give their version of what the Holy Spirit had given to them, and they'll write that down. So today I want to preach a message from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to read in a moment here, verse 1 to verse 23. But I wanted to share this with you that, you know, several years ago my father passed away as a young man. He was only 53 years of age, died from heart complications, and so upon his death, my mother asked if I wanted his Bible, and I said, yes, I absolutely would love to have his Bible. And so my dad always used a Thompson Chain Reference, King James Version Bible, and that. So when I got the Bible, after all the dust had settled and the funeral's over and burial's done, everything, and I had a little bit of time, I had a chance to go through his Bible. My father always loved the book of Revelation, so he was always in the book of Revelation, studying Revelation, and he always had questions for me in the book of Revelation. But one of the things I noticed in his Bible that he had there, he had a bookmark, and the bookmark was a Valentine's card from my oldest son. Now, my oldest son, Chad, he is 45. He'll be 46 this year in June. So when I read that, it was a Valentine's card from my oldest son to his grandpa on how much grandpa meant to him during Valentine's. And it was in his handwriting when he was, I don't know, just 2 or 3 years old. And wrote that little Valentine card out. My dad always carried that as a bookmark in his Bible. And to this day, I have that Bible at home on my desk, and that bookmark is still there. And someday, when I pass away, I'll make sure that Bible, my father's Bible, gets passed on to my oldest son with that Valentine marker in there, that little love note. And I thought, you know, what about that? You know, you think about here, and I kind of put the Sunday school on notice, so I'll share this with the whole church body today and put it on notice that today's the last day of the month of January. I think it's always important that those that we love, those that we care for, that we write love notes or we write thank you notes or we write something in appreciation for who they are. So you got what? You got Valentine's coming in 2 weeks. And I don't know about you, but when we went to school in elementary all the time growing up, we always had those little Valentine cards. How many of you ever did that? Got those little Valentine cards? Oh, yeah. All right, so you know what I'm talking about. And you'd fill out those little Valentine cards and give it to a friend at school or a family member or mom and dad or brother, sister, whoever. I hope you gave it to your brothers and sisters. And that showed them how much you love and appreciated them and that. So it's a fun time of the year to think about that. And those are written from the heart. And today I want to preach a message that has to do with about the heart, because I think the Bible, Jesus taught it very well. And it's a good opportunity right now during this time of the year, in Valentine's in February, sit down and write a love note. If you're not going to do a Valentine card, make, for whatever reason, don't forget your spouse. Make sure your spouse is number one and first and foremost, and your family, those you care about, and letting them know that you love them, appreciate them, and what they mean to you. And so Jesus talked a lot about the heart. And I don't know about you, but what I see a lot going on in our world and our society today, after studying Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7, I think our world has a heart problem. Amen? I want to show you why. Look here in our text in Matthew chapter 7, and you look at it, Matthew, this is the parable that Jesus gave, and Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And really it starts out in the chapter here with Jesus rebuking the religious crowd. Now, who were the religious crowd? It was the scribes. The scribes were the lawyers of the day, and also the Pharisees, the religious crowd. And so he really starts out with a stern rebuke. And I thought, well, what a way to start a chapter out, rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. But that's what Jesus did. He was never afraid to go after the heart of the matter and talking about those. And so he really chastises them. But in verse 1, it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, then came unto him the Pharisees, and then certain of the scribes, or certain of the lawyers, whatever, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. And for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. And then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, here's the question now, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and he said unto them, well, hath Isaiah, it's Isaiah, which is Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines of commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable, the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. And for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, and adulteries, and fornication, and murders, and thefts, and covetousness, and wickedness, and deceit, and lasciviousness, and an evil eye, and blasphemy, and pride, and foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So here, when you look at the heart of the issue in this parable, now hold your place there and go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, because you see just a little bit of different take, but there's one thing I want you to see what Jesus, that Matthew gives us, that Mark did not give us in this particular text when you're looking at here. He really goes to the heart of the issue. First of all, I want you to see in the Bible that he takes to task the scribes, the Pharisees, and the religious crowd, and the legalism, the man-made legalism traditions of the day. And so you know what I find interesting, and I am as concerned as you are, and I think we ought to be wise in what we're doing. We're all trying to navigate through a pandemic here in America and around the world, and I think we need to be safe, we need to be wise. And I don't know what your experience has been, but mine has been at different places coming and going, that depending on what you're doing, that You know, that you got to have a mask on, you got to social distance, you got to be careful. And I understand the coronavirus, people can get sick from that, and people can even die from that. And it depends on your underlying conditions, a lot of things going on. But what I've noticed in here in my experience has been a lot of times just the fear of people. Living in fear, looking at that, of touching something and that. And so I pulled up to a fast food place the other day. I was going through a line, and so I noticed the person in the vehicle in front of me took out a handy wipe kind of thing, and they wiped down everything, and they're real careful with what they're getting and bringing it into the car and out. And I'm just kind of watching the public kind of everywhere they go and everything they go. And you know what began to dawn on me? Yeah, should we be careful? Absolutely. But this text I could not get out of my mind, because it's not what's on the outside that defiles the man. It's what's on the inside that defiles the man. And so when you look at it in Scripture and to realize this, are the day, and Brother Ron, they just sang about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and down through verse 8. The day of our birth is ordered of the Lord. The day of our death is ordered of the Lord. I don't care what's going on in the world and what kind of pandemic and what kind of, you know, and I think about what the plagues were back in the days of Egypt and all that they went through during that time. So it's interesting to look at our society today and our world, but you find here in Matthew, when they asked Jesus this question, he answered it with a question. And by that meaning, so you look in Matthew 15 and verse 1, 2, and 3, and they asked Jesus in verse 2, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? That's an important, I mean, that's a question. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, I love this. Now, Matthew gives us this context here. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So it's a little bit of a take than what Matthew gives us, than what Mark gives us by that. He answers a question with a question. And so they come right after Jesus about the traditions of men. He goes right back after what's more important than the traditions of God, and saying here, why do you, the religious crowd, why do you scribes and Pharisees, why do you transgress the commandment of God? And for God commanded, and here, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whatsoever he shall say to his father and mother is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, for he shall be free. Thus, he says in Matthew in verse 6 there, have been made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition? What is more important, as Jesus saying is here, that which you do, the washing of the hands and touching this and making sure you don't defile, and they look at it and they have these certain traditions of men. What about the traditions of God? And he says here of honoring your father and mother, and he calls them here in verse 7 of Matthew, verse 15, you hypocrites, ye did well, Isaiah prophesying unto you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They had a heart problem. These scribes and these Pharisees had a heart issue, and they were more concerned about the traditions of living every day and making sure that, you know, and I thought about this because, you know, when I was growing up as a young man, I was in Cub Scouts and went to Boy Scouts and went all the way through. I was that close to being an Eagle Scout, and I kick myself to this day that I didn't finish it because I was so close, and along came a girlfriend. And to this day, I blame her for me not getting the Eagle Scout. And but now I didn't marry that girlfriend. But you know, I lost my focus for a little bit. And I was so focused, and so I spent a lot of time. Matter of fact, I spent one whole summer in working in a Boy Scout camp when I was 14 years old. And scouting was real important to me. And so we camped all year long, and out in the woods and in all kinds of inclement weather and the snow and freezing temperatures and that. We learned how to survive out and all that kind of stuff and that. And there was a lot of things that we did back in that day that you think about what you did and you say, oh my goodness. And that, you know, you don't wash your hands maybe for everything. And you think about what you went through. But here they had these real traditions that you went through. And none of us ever died from any of that. I think about, you know, and for years I did a lot of hunting. I used to go hunting a lot, pheasant hunting. That's my all-time favorite. If I was to choose anything, it's always pheasant hunting. But I used to go a lot of deer hunting and elk hunting and go out in Montana, and that area is out there, and we're out and many times been out there hunting or whatever. And you might be someplace where, you know, you don't have a place where you can take a shower or shave or whatever for a week. And so a lot of things you touch or handle, whatever, I'm sure it's not maybe the cleanest, but you know what? None of us ever died from any of that. So when you think about that here in this text here, it really comes to the heart of the issue here, what Jesus said, "In vain they do worship me for the teaching of the doctrines of the commandments of men." So it's important to differentiate what is the commandments of men and what men does and what God then commands us to do. Let's go back to our text now in Mark, and I want to stay a little bit closer to this in Mark 7 and this text here and seeing the difference of what Jesus point out and some of the things that he was teaching here. And I always love how he goes after the religious crowd. And now that they say that this people here, they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, in verse 6, of Mark chapter 7, is far from me. You can say you're a Christian, but there have been a lot of times down through life, I think I've heard people say that they're a Christian, but if the fruit doesn't line up on the tree, and if there's not evidence of that, then it's not really been a heart conversion. The Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess me with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so confession comes by the heart. Confession comes by the mouth, but through the heart. And so everything's through the heart. And here this crowd was violating this, that this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart today? When you look at it today, and what kind of condition is your heart in today? You can say you love God, but if your actions don't reflect that, you don't really love God. The Bible's even clear over in the Gospel of John, if you hold hatred or grudge or revenge or whatever against somebody else, and you say you love God, then you really don't love God as long as you can harbor. You ought not to hate anybody. Ought not to hold hatred or revenge or have an issue with others. I've seen people that have taken things to task, and I've seen it in my own family. I've had my uncles or whether some of my dad's brothers and that somebody will get crosswise with each other, and then for years they wouldn't talk to each other. Wouldn't drive, you know, they wouldn't even drive, they'd drive right by the person's house, wouldn't stop in. I used to look at that as a teenager, and I'd say, something's got to be wrong with that picture. Something's got to be wrong in the heart. You know what it is? It's a thing in the heart. And so when you look at it here, this people honoreth me with, you say you love God and you hate this brother. You say you love God and you hate this family member. You say you love God and you hate this person here or whatever, and you hold that, it's a heart issue. He says here in verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, and teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Often in vain here, the commandments of men. I often wonder how many times people today, I pray that when you come to worship, that it's real, and it's a heart issue, and God has all of your heart and all of your being and your sincerity and in truth. There's a lot of people that will go to worship. They'll go to church and worship him, but they'll maybe do so. And yet he says here, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How's your heart today? And howbeit in vain do they worship me? And he says here, laying aside the commandment of God and the holding, you hold the tradition of men. We ought not to hold the traditions of men. We ought to take and look at the Bible, the Word of God. If it says to honor our father and mother, we should honor our father and mother. If it says thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery. If it says that we're not to steal, whatever the commandment are, we are to take the Word of God and to honor that and not get caught up in the traditions of men. Laying aside the commandment of God. Don't lay aside the commandments that God has given to us and then hold to our traditions or our certain things that because we, as men say, he's saying here, as the washing of pots, cups, and many other such things like you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Never should we be guilty of obeying the tradition of men and violating the Scripture. We need to align ourselves with the Word of God and obey the Scripture. And he says, Moses goes on here, and Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. So much to import. I think our world would be a better world if we followed the commandments of God. Our world would be a better world if we honored our father and mother. Our world would be a better world if it was still the philosophy of one man for one woman and the bonds of holy matrimony and the sacredness of marriage and the family and the home and the unit. You know, it's interesting today to see where all this is going today in our world today. And you hear a lot of controversy even about this transgender issue and now transgender showing up in women's sports and girls' sports and men that don't want to be men or boys that don't want to be boys anymore, men, and they want to cross over and then play in women's sports. Where is our society? I'll tell you what. The other day I was flipping a channel. I'm sure you don't do that at home, but I was flipping a channel and come across the movie of Sodom and Gomorrah. I watched a little bit of that, and I'm sitting there thinking, I thought, you know what? I think we got Sodom and Gomorrah beat. If you look at the world we live in, you look at our society and what we believe in, you look at the decay of the morals and the values of what we live in, you look at the deterioration of the family unit between a husband and a wife and this thing on transgender thing and all the issues that goes into sexuality in our society, there's nothing in our world today we would put Sodom and Gomorrah to shame. It's interesting to see when you look at it in our world today. He says here, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect. You know what the world, our society, has basically done? Taking the word of God and throwing it out the window and made it none effect. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what the values are. They don't care what the principles are. They don't care what the our Ten Commandments are written and hung right in the United States Supreme Court and in our government buildings and in places that are quite visible around our country. And they disregard that. So here in the Bible it says, when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, for there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. So defilement doesn't come from without, in through our belly and out through our body, and that we find it comes through the heart. Today, a person can be defiled by the heart. And I don't know about you, but I see the world that we live in today, we have a heart problem. You see things that are going on, we have a heart issue. You see the wrong thing being said, it's a heart issue. And you see the wrong thing in our world, he went on to say here, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he entered into the house of the people, his disciples, I often find it interesting that when Jesus taught these parables, here's his disciples sitting there listening and taking all this in, and then they're asking, when the crowd leaves a little bit, well, what exactly does that mean? And they're trying to, this is new because many of them came from backgrounds, and they're trying to sort through the biblical truth of this. And then Jesus always, he comes back to him here and he says, are you so without understanding also? You don't understand the principles here. You don't understand what it means how a person is really defiled. He said, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? No matter what you're taking, that's not what's going to defile man. You got to look at the heart issue of what's on the inside. And so he says here, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, and purging all meals. And then he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles him. Now I want you to think about that and look at it, because verse 21, 22, and 23 of chapter 7 here, I think gives us explicit reasons of what the problem is in our society today. That which cometh out of a man, and you think about it, proceeds. Number one is evil thoughts. Do you notice he starts out in verse 21, from within and out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And you see that today, and the thinking of man and mankind is so off base. They don't think of the things of God. They don't think of the things of Scripture. And where does this evil come from? It's a real issue, and I really believe Satan goes to and fro, up and down the land, seeking whom he can devour. And I think as those evil thoughts comes from the very pits of hell and comes from Satan himself. And so you find today the battle for the mind goes on, and the Bible encourages you and I to make sure our mind are consecrated and separated unto the Lord. And so right out of the chute, one of the first things is that can get in and pierce the heart is the evil thoughts. Where do your thought processes come from? Your thoughts can either be guided by Satan himself or by God and by the Holy Spirit. And so it's very interesting, you know, what you read, what you do, where you go, and how you control your mind. Hang on to this verse here in Matthew, but let me show you this over in Romans chapter 12, and a verse that you're pretty familiar with already, and how important the mind is. And how Paul addressed this, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1, by the mercy of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice that now, our bodies, when we're saved, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, and which is your reasonable service. And then he says here, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It all starts in the mind. It all starts here, coming from the heart, and transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we would then be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we ought not to be conformed to these things of the way of the world. We need to control our thought processes. We need to control that which is in our mind, and it comes from the heart, and everything in the mind comes out of the heart, he says here. And so we find here the first thing is proceeding of men from within and defiles a man is evil thoughts. Boy, what a witness of that in the year of 2020. Have you ever seen a year when there's been more corruptness and more evil and more going on in our world today? And you look at, I watch what is going on in Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and Los Angeles and New York and around our world and things happening here in Michigan. And I look, I think, where does all that come from? Out of an evil and a corrupt heart is where it comes from. You know what the world needs? The answer simply is it needs God. It needs Jesus Christ. It needs a conversion experience of the heart. Even if you bring that into the local church and you find if something happens and somebody says something and maybe it shouldn't have been said or it comes, where does it come from? It comes out of the heart. So you can really listen to what people say and what they do and how they act. And out of that, out of the heart can come what? Evil thoughts. Secondly, adulteries. The Bible has always been very adamant and very against adultery, that God protects and honors marriage and the home and the family. And honors that a relationship between a husband and wife, that we need to be loyal and faithful and one man for one woman, and no matter what the circumstance, you figure out a way to make the marriage work. I realize that we live in a challenging world today, and there's the issue of marriages sometimes fall apart, and you think about that, what happens? No matter what it is that breaks it up, I'm reminded over in Revelation, it's kind of like they lost their first love. Think about that. Go over to the churches in Asia Minor. So what is, we're getting ready to go into February, and what a great month to think about that is, you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you fall in love with your wife or your husband, and you nurture that love, and you keep that alive, and you keep that together, and you keep feeding that, and you keep nurturing that, and you do whatever you got to do to make that work. Don't fall out of love. Fall into love. Stay in love. And whatever you do here, he says, because what will happen? What will come along? Next thing you know, a lust will come along. A thought will come along. A temptation will come along. And then when you act on that lust and give into that temptation, and then it begins carried out. And you simply say, I've heard people say, well, I just don't love her anymore. Really? I just don't love him anymore. Where'd it go? Whose fault is that? It's coming together. The Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians 7 that the husband is to love the wife and to cherish her and as Christ loved the church. And really, the head of the home is the husband's responsibility to make sure you take the leadership role of holding that love and that nurturing relationship together. And so we find it's just as important in submission one to the other, husband to the wife to the husband, and holding that together. If they'll do that and nurture that love and nurture that relationship, then you don't have to worry about the adultery issue on either side. But adultery here, that defiles a man. It comes out of the heart. And then fornication here talks about the sexual sins. We live in a world today as pretty much anything goes. Go ahead, move in together. Let's see if we're compatible. And how many times you see that in our society? A young man or a young woman decide that, they're dating whatever. Well, let's see if this thing might work out. And no, that's not how God designed it. And even Joseph and Mary back in that time, Joseph was a spouse to Mary. But he also kept his distance and also realized why in that relationship just as strongly as to be married to her, but he never had relations with her until after they were married. And so you find it's interesting here that we live in a society today of less, that when you look at it, fornication, sexual sins outside of marriage. God designed sexual part of our relationships to be for one between a husband and a wife, between one man and one woman, together in the bonds of holy matrimony forever. There's nothing wrong with sexual relationships, but it's defined in the boundaries of a husband and a wife relationship together, and we need to make sure that we honor that and we respect that and we follow that. And as we find here, that which can defile a person are getting that out of whack in what the Bible calls fornications. And then murders. It's amazing here that will defile a person. Did you ever think about this? I mean, what would have to go through a person's mind to dig so low, to go so far down that they seriously give serious thought to killing somebody, to take another person's life? That's a horrible thing. That defiles a person. That comes from within and from the heart. And I realize God can change the heart. And I've seen people that have committed murder and then gotten saved and repented of their sin and come to God and are, you know, but they spend years, if not a lifetime, then in jail. It's a horrible thing. The Bible says then thefts. That defiles a man. The Bible was very clear that thou shalt not steal over in the commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And not only that should we not steal, but the Bible says covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor or anything that your neighbor has. And I don't know about you, but when you look around, you can always find somebody that knows more, has more in life. Be content with what you have. If you've been blessed, you've been blessed. But covetous is the root of sin, and the Bible says here it will defile a person from the inside out. It's not the place you want to go, it's the place you want to stay away from. And then the Bible just says pure wickedness. That will defile man. I don't know all that's going on. I don't know all the background. I see a lot of things in our society. I look at it and I see that organization, whatever it is behind it, is wickedness and corruptness and evil. And nothing good. I could sit here and start calling names and pull things out in our society today. And the Bible says that wickedness is what defiles a person. That wickedness is what corrupts a person. And so you find here then deceit and lasciviousness. And then notice not only that, an evil eye. And then blasphemy and pride. You know, pride, there it goes. It shows up again in the things that can defile a man. It sure defiled. You go back to Adam and Eve, it was one of the things that defiled Adam and Eve and gave to them their sin nature. You find the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride. Pride always gets engaged in there and will bring a person down. And so Jesus identified all these here. It says here, and then foolishness. You want to learn a lot about foolishness, go over and read the book of Proverbs. There's a lot said about the foolishness in the book of Proverbs. Matter of fact, I would say this today. If you have a young person at home or a college student or anybody there, a young man or young woman that hasn't been married, somebody and that maybe say age 15 to whatever when they get married, they need to be focused on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom and about foolishness, how to protect yourself, how to guard yourself, what to stay away from, what to be engaged in. And Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. I would encourage that every young person, starting in those teenage years, spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs. And mom and dad, you encourage them to read the book of Proverbs. Read it again and read it again. Have it as your family devotions at home. Talks a lot about foolishness and making wise decisions and what to guard against and what to be careful of. And so here, Mark just identifies, he says, all these evil things come from within. This is what defiles a man. It's not the outside, it's not the traditions of men, it's not the outside things which will go through the belly, it's the things that come out of the heart. As the heart goes, so goes the man. And you know, it's interesting, as you watch people and watch what they do and how they act and where they go and how they're engaged, you can see where the defilement comes from. Jesus talks about the heart. Let me show you this. Go over to Romans chapter 10. And so today, basically, my friend, we need a conversion of the heart. We need to make sure. You know, it's interesting because sometimes, you know, when a child gets saved, we did it with all three of our children and that, and they'll ask what Jesus to come into their heart. Amen? So what is that is? That's a recognition of the fact that they are a sinner, that they cannot save themselves, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so they realize, and you begin to teach a child from the youth up, and that it's an important part of the decision of the heart, a conversion of the heart. You get the heart right. And he says here in Romans chapter 10, and you get down there, skip back up to verse 6 there. But the righteous which is of the faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down or above, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in the mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Notice this carefully now in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For notice this now. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the Bible makes it very clear that there's a heart problem, there's a heart issue in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark's Gospel chapter 7, and not to get caught up in the traditions of men. And you want to see where the evil comes from the world? Go home today anywhere. You can pick it up on the internet, you can pick it up on your TV, you can pick it up on any cable station or whatever. And if you see the evils of the day, it's a heart problem. And where do those all come from? All the things that we just talked about. You can pick up all your daily news coming in, and you're going to see things about murder. You're going to see things about adultery. You're going to see things about evil speaking. You're going to see things about people tearing people down. You're going to see things that are just disrupting this and disrupting that. There's a heart issue going on. The Bible's very clear here in the fact that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, what we need to pray for today is a heart conversion. If your heart is converted to God and basically given to Him and recognizing that you are a sinner and you call upon Him for salvation, God will change your heart and you don't have to worry about being defiled. Keep the heart right. David was a man, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. Now you look at that and you realize, you know what it is? It's simply, I had somebody ask me one time, said, well, did David go to heaven? My simple answer would be, yes, he did. And they said, well, what about murder? David committed murder. Murder is listed right here. David also committed adultery. That's also listed right here. And look at that. Let me show you an important part about this. And you go back to Psalm chapter 51, and you look at that and you say, yes, David did commit murder. And yes, David did commit adultery. So you know what he did? He didn't protect his heart. I really believe that David, when he was with Goliath, remember that, in fighting Goliath? David was a man after God's own heart and defeated Goliath and won the battle. But we find also David was in the wrong place at the wrong time and lusted, and he should have been out on the battlefront, and he was at home in the palace and looked out his window and saw Bathsheba. What did he do? He lusted after Bathsheba and then sent for her and brought her to the palace. And so the lust then, by his own admission, bringing her in, then set him up to commit adultery. And then realized, you know what, it never pays to sin, because then you got to try to cover up one sin with another sin. And so there's exactly what David did. David committed adultery, and he knew it was wrong. He knew his heart wasn't right, and David knew that he had made a mistake. And he didn't know how to handle it at that time. So what did he do? He told his officers to take Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, send him out into the heat of the battle, put him on the front line, and let him be killed. And that's exactly what happened. They took Uriah out, and Uriah then was out and killed in the battle. And so there's two things wrong. David committed adultery. David committed murder. And once he came to his senses, Psalm 51, the Bible says this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, David says. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear that thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen, David said, in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David, you know what David recognized? David recognized he had a sin problem. David recognized he had a sin nature. David recognized that he was a sinner from birth. And he also recognized here that his sin with Bathsheba was ever before the Lord. He allowed his heart to be overtaken with lust. He allowed his heart to be overtaken with sin and the evil things that we just read about in Mark chapter 7. And so what does David do? In verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, David says, and blot out all my transgressions. He says, you can just see the weight of his heart here in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, you look at that and you say, well, David, when he committed adultery and committed murder and that, he lost his salvation. I don't think so. I think he was so far backslidden. I think he was so far out of whack. I think his heart got out of tune with God, and he lusted, and he got lifted up in pride, and he began down the wrong path. And so what does he say here? God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I have often said it once, and I'll say it again. I think the most miserable place to be is a person that is saved, knows they're saved and on their way to heaven, but out of the will of God and willingly committing sin, willingly doing something that's not pleasing to God and doing some of the things or whatever in life, and they are miserable within themselves. David was miserable, and he says here, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what David wanted? David wanted forgiveness. He wanted the joy of the Lord back. You know what he wanted? He wanted his heart right with God. That's what he wanted. He wanted back where that he could have that relationship. Sin always puts a hindrance in your relationship between you and God. You got to deal with the sin issue. Before salvation, to be saved, and even after salvation, if you allow it to reign in your life like David here, it'll steal the joy of your salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. God, we thank you for the joy of our salvation that we can have, and by knowing that our heart is cleansed and we've asked forgiveness of our sin, and God, that you've come into our lives and forgiven us of our sin, and we've asked the Lord Jesus to be Savior of our lives. So God, today I pray as we look into the gospel here in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew 15, it's not the outward things that defiles a person. God, it's all these things that Mark talked about that defiles us within the heart. Murder will defile you. Adultery will defile you. Fornication will defile you. Lasciviousness will defile you. Evil speaking will defile you. God, all these things, we understand clearly what the Bible teaches. So God, today may we make sure our heart is right with you. Number one, God, that we're saved. And yet you put a clean heart within our lives. But God, today, maybe there's someone here that is saved. And they're carrying around some sin in their life that's stealing the joy of their salvation. God, today, I just pray the Holy Spirit would show them that they need to confess that. Beg and plead and ask you to forgive them, just like David did here in Psalm 51. To restore unto them the joy of their salvation. God, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, that they'd open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus for eternal life. And God, today, may we as believers give our heart to you afresh and anew and not allow anything to defile the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together today, my friend. If you're here and you're not saved today, we'd encourage you to accept Christ and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if you've never yet been saved, we'd love to be able to help you with that. If you've never yet been born again, we'd love to be able to pray with you and to help you make that decision. Get the heart right, and the world looks a lot different. And whatever, my friend, you're praying about, and you want to pray, the altar's open. You're welcome to come. If you want to visit about membership at First Baptist Church, I'd love to visit with you about that. You come as the Holy Spirit leads. You just want to come to pray, you're welcome to come, as Brother Ron leads us.
Have thine own way. Thank you.
head bowed and every eye closed and in prayer today, my friend, think about this. It's not what's on the outside that defiles us. Jesus made it very clear. It's what's on the inside. How's your heart today? Protect and guard your heart and make sure it's whatever there. If you're not careful, you can get caught up so easy by some lust, by some temptation, by some thing that Satan throws your way, and he can attack you and allow you to defile yourself. Don't let him do that. There's enough evil in this world. We need to make sure that our heart is protected. And if something does happen, that we quickly go to our knees in prayer and ask a holy God, just like David did in Psalm 51, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How about you, my friend? Is your salvation joyful? Are you living Christianity to the fullest? Like Brother Ron sang a moment ago, talking about thriving. Are you thriving for the cause of Christ? As Brother Ron leads us in one more verse, you pray.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today.
God's people said, amen. Thank you. Be seated just for a moment. I'll just share a couple things with you, and we'll have prayer and let you go. And one service is tonight at 6 o'clock. We will be serving the Lord's Supper tonight at 6. So we encourage you, if you want to partake in the Lord's Supper, to be here tonight in the 6 o'clock service. We will be doing it in the morning service around Easter Palm Sunday. I'll have to look at the date and see. We do try to do the Lord's Supper in the morning service two or three times a year. Other times of the year, we do it in the evening service. So the Lord's Supper will be tonight. And I've already shared with you a little bit about the nursery, what's going on with the furnace back there. And we'll get that in, get that taken care of. The money is there. We're going to be able to replace those in A1, A2 and pay cash for them. God has been good and provided. We're going to go ahead and replace the furnace in A1, A2, A3. It has been ordered. We put half the money down on a new furnace in A1, A2, A3, and also the nursery. We're just waiting on the install date, and those will be going in. They got to bring a big crane in and hoist those up on the rooftop, and we'll get those taken care of. And again, God has been good and provided the money for that, and so we praise the Lord for his goodness and making provisions for that. The ladies' Bible study, tomorrow is February. They're starting tomorrow, Bev Byram, the Bible study of the ladies. They're going to go back, I think, in the chapel. And that, so they're going back in the chapel, and so ladies' Bible study will be starting on Tuesday morning. They're going to be in the book of Job, and so if you can, ladies, be mindful of that, and as they meet back there. Also, I see now February 1, our governor is lifting a little bit of the restrictions, so the restaurants are going to be opening. So today is your last day to eat in the car or get carry out and take it home, amen? And I don't know, I guess the restaurants are going to open back up, 25% capacity or whatever they're doing. I don't know, but it's a crazy world we live in with all that's going on. But anyway, with that in mind, AM Connection has not been able to meet during the last couple of months because of that. We normally meet at National Coney Island on Thursday morning and have been meeting at 6 o'clock, but that all got kind of put aside when all that went down. So National Coney Island's not opening till 8. And so we're going to meet starting this Thursday at Leo's Coney Island in the plaza by Kroger over here at Canton Center Road and Ford Road. there's a Leo Coney Island. So, and that's at 7 o'clock. So AM Connection is for the men's group or any of the men that want to come and join us. We just gather together. Warren Miller teaches that. He's in Corinthians. And then we're going to be going to the book of Genesis. And we have breakfast together and have prayer together. And then everybody heads out in their own direction. So if you want to be a part of that, Leo's Coney Island on Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, you're welcome to come. And I think we covered everything else in there. And we serve a great and mighty God in His goodness. So trust you have a great week. And be careful, be safe out there. Let's stand together and we'll be closed in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. Thank You for the opportunity to be here. God, help us to guard our heart and to make sure that each and every day, God, that we live for You. And Father, to realize that according to the scripture that we read and studied today, that it's not the things on the outside that is going to defile us like the scribes and the Pharisees thought, but it's the things on the inside of the heart. And may we guard ourselves from that. My God, may we be wise and cautious in what we do, and may we be faithful in serving You. And God, we also pray for those that today might be struggling or have some challenge in their life. God, Holy Spirit, we pray You'd be with them and whatever need that You're dealing in their hearts today. And God, we love You. Thank You for the opportunity to serve You today and keep our church family and these guests and visitors today safe. Put a hedge of protection about them in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you. Have a great day.